White, St. Helena, California, October 5, 1908. Elder J. E. White, 1713 Cass Street, Nashville, Tennessee. Dear son Edson, I have had influenza quite severely, but Sarah has given me heroic treatment, and I am improving. My left limb is now causing me trouble. Some nights I am unable to lie comfortably in bed and have been kept awake for hours. And the few hours that I do sleep do not rest me. But the Lord is very near to me. He is gracious, and I praise His holy name. All through the day I have important writings to examine. I find so much that ought to come before the people, and we are trying to prepare these writings as fast as possible. At times my eyes are severely taxed, but no one but myself can do this first work, to judge of their importance, and to decide which should come before the people. I pray that the meetings you will have together at Madison and Nashville will be greatly blessed of the Lord. I hope that as soon as you can adjust matters, you will come here and unite with Willie in this very important work. This is what you should have done years ago. I am so thankful that you have not departed from the faith by giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Satan will work tremendously to influence the men who know the principles of present truth to interweave with the truth his fallacious theories. The Lord now calls upon every soul to be Bible Christians. But few understand the workings of Satan on the minds and hearts of human beings who know the truth, and his power to lead them into deception. I am more thankful than language can express for the wonderful victories that have been gained by some who have been in darkness and bewilderment. Some who are actually working against the truth were delivered by the Holy Spirit's power at the camp meeting at Fresno and are now standing on the true platform, whose foundation and builder is Jesus Christ. I have an intense interest that you shall come off more than conqueror through the grace of Christ. This grace is given to every soul who will receive it and be led and controlled by the Spirit of God. Let us appreciate the great privileges obtained for us by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The power of satanic agencies will continue to increase, and the battle will become more and more trying. We need each one to obtain a deep experience in the living Word. Let us study that Word and live by it. The words that God spoke to ancient Israel through His servant Moses are as verily spoken to us as to them. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He sware unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth mercy and covenant with them that love Him and keep His commandments, to 1,000 generations. And He repayeth them that hate Him to their face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep the covenant and the mercy which He sware unto thy fathers, and He will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 to 13. Read the remainder of this 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, and also the 8th chapter. There are precious lessons to be learned from this portion of God's Word. There is not the least excuse for any soul to make mistakes or stumble into error. The Word of God is a sure guide. The terms of salvation and of prosperity are plainly defined. All the commandments which I command thee this day, the Lord declares, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 to 6. I am impressed by the Spirit of God to repeat these words of the Lord to his people as they assemble in general meeting. The instruction given to ancient Israel for their education and guidance is to be given in our gatherings, for our people need to be impressed with the fact that their prosperity depends upon a strict obedience to every principle laid down. And by repeating this instruction to the people, we shall impress these principles more firmly upon their minds. These two chapters of Deuteronomy contain important instruction concerning the keeping of God's commandments and should be often presented to the people. The instruction of chapter 5 should also come to us with special force. That which the Lord required of his people as he led them through the wilderness was sanctification, sanctification of mind and soul and body. This he requires of every soul today. There is to be rendered to him by his people perfect obedience to his will. No excuse will be accepted for disobedience to his holy commandments. Moses was charged to repeat to the people the lessons recorded in chapters 9 to 12 of this book, and this he did. No member of the congregation of Israel was left in ignorance regarding this duty. The same requirement rests upon us individually. And to you, my son, I write them explicitly, that you may learn their importance and learn to live by every word of God. These heavenly principles you are to express in all you do and say. We have been favored with a knowledge of the history of remarkable characters who lived in Bible times. These histories are given to us that we may learn the lessons that the lives of these men teach. Line upon line, precept upon precept, we are to accept the Word of God and put it into practice in our lives. Moses was told to put the instruction given him into song, that as the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, they might cheer their long march by music and song. Those who were skilled in the use of musical instruments led the singing. As the vast army kept step together in musical tread, their voices were raised to recount the wonderful dealings of God with them. It was an impressive scene, and one in which the angels of heaven took part, impressing the heart and fixing indelibly in the memory the lessons God desired to teach. God had another purpose in thus preserving in song the memory of his dealings with Israel. They were to be preserved and handed down to future generations, that when, in time to come, the children should ask their fathers, "What mean ye by these songs?" they might repeat to them the history of the wanderings of Israel and impress their lessons on their minds. I ask you to study carefully the experiences of Israel in their travels to Canaan.
Study the third and fourth chapters of Joshua, recording their preparation for and passage over the Jordan into the Promised Land. We need to keep the heart and mind in training by refreshing the memory with the lessons that the Lord taught His ancient people. Then, to us, as He designed it should be to them, the teachings of His Word will ever be interesting and impressive.